You're with Amy Duggan on ABC Illawarra.
We're talking innovation this afternoon, but first I want you to take a big deep breath and be honest with yourself. When was the last time you truly felt calm? I'm not talking just sitting down and taking a moment. I mean actually calm. Most of us are running a race we didn't sign up for. The alarm goes off, the notifications start piling up, the commute kicks in, the inbox is never empty, the kids need something, the boss wants something, and somewhere in between breakfast and bedtime, we forgot to breathe. That's how it feels anyway. We are busier, louder, faster, and more connected than any generation before us. And then we're surprised when we can't sleep at 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Well, someone here right on the South Coast is actually calm, despite all the chaos in this world, and went digging to find out why. Melinda Charlesworth is from Winoona and has just launched a book called Calm is a Skill. Mm-hmm, that's right. And I have a feeling this conversation might actually be the most useful few minutes of my day so far. Welcome, Melinda.
Thanks for having me.
When did you realise you were calm?
Well, it was funny, actually, because I didn't realise it. My kids noticed it. And my daughter actually came home from school, and this was a couple of years ago now, and she was about 16 at the time. And she told me a story about how her and her friends had been sitting around and they were talking about how cranky their mothers were, as teenage girls do. And I remember having that conversation when I was a teenager about how cranky my mother was. And anyway, apparently in the course of the conversation, she said to her friends, "Oh, my mum doesn't do anger." And she came home and she told me this story and I just stopped and I thought about it and I went, "Oh, actually, you're right. I literally could not remember the last time I'd been angry." But then I thought about it and I thought, well, it hadn't always been that way. I mean, I used to be really cranky. I used to be really stressed. I used to be all the things that we all are. And so I just kind of stopped and went, oh, well, how did that happen? Where did that come from? And that set me on a journey.
So instead of just enjoying it and letting your daughter enjoy it, you went digging. What did that process look like? Was it libraries, experts, laying awake, Googling neuroscience? What happened?
Yeah, all of that. So research is, you know, I'm a bit weird like that. Research is a bit of a hobby for me and you know, I'm a bit of a science nerd and I enjoy reading about neuroscience and things like that. So I just started digging and the more I dug, the more I learnt. And then I decided that, you know, apparently going back to uni 20 years after your last graduation is a smart thing to do, and went and enrolled in a psychology degree and went back to uni and started studying even more. And then, of course, had access to more libraries and more research and more things that I could dig into, and went down the proverbial rabbit hole and a book fell out.
How long did that journey of discovery take from realising you were calm to publishing the book? Are we talking months or years here? I feel like years.
Probably about 2 years.
Yeah.
Because life, you know, happens in the middle of all of that.
Yeah. You are from Winoona, which is a pretty nice place to live, on the water and all of that. Do you think where you live has anything to do with how you feel calm-wise?
Look, I think it helps. You know, certainly there's, you know, there's places that are more conducive to calm than others. You know, I imagine if you're living in the middle of a city and, you know, in New York or somewhere like that, you know, calm might be a little bit harder to access. And certainly, you know, walking along the beach does help. But it doesn't really matter where you are. And I also want to make it clear that having calm as a skill doesn't mean nothing ever happens and your life doesn't ever get you down and, you know, stuff still happens. Like, we still have lives. And the book is not about never feeling stressed again and never having anything happen and never getting angry and all that kind of thing. It's about, what do you do when that happens? How do you manage that? And how do you come back from it?
You've described it as a bit of neuroscience, a bit of psychology, and a bit of mindset.
Yeah, it's all of those things. So I think a lot of it is understanding what's going on in your body when you're not feeling calm.
Okay, so let's start with neuroscience. What is actually happening in our brains when we're stressed and what changes when we're calm in the simple-eyed version? Yeah.
So the way I describe it in the book is I like to think of it as it's like you've got two brains. So you've got your caveman brain, who I call lovingly Barry, and your caveman brain is there to protect you. So it's your amygdala, it's, you know, your limbic system, it's all that kind of stuff, but that doesn't matter.
Your fight or flight.
It's your fight, your flight, your freeze, your fawn. It's the bit of your brain that was designed to protect you from the saber-toothed tiger. The problem is it's still running that old software. So it still thinks when stuff happens that there's a tiger on the horizon. So it can't tell the difference between a tiger and an email from your boss that says, can we talk? So it goes into the same process as if there's a tiger. So you panic or you freeze or you run away. Like all those things that we understand happen. Now, that part of your brain is designed to keep you alive. So it's really useful. But sometimes it overreacts and it happens really quickly. And what happens is when that part of your brain is in control, the other part of your brain, which you need to access, which is what I call the CEO, which is your prefrontal cortex, it is less accessible. So it's like you can have one in charge or the other, but not both.
Both at the same time.
Yep.
Mm. And the psychology side of this, about our thought patterns and the story we tell ourselves.
Yeah, so we all tell ourselves stories, and a lot of those stories are based on what's happened before. So your brain is essentially a pattern recognition machine, and it looks for patterns. So it often will see something happen and it will make an assumption that it's, because it's looking for patterns, it's a repeat of something that's happened in your past. And so that's often why we talk about people getting triggered by things. That's what a trigger is. A trigger is basically your brain going, oh, I've seen this before.
Pattern recognition.
And it wasn't good.
I understand. We are chatting to Melinda Charlesworth, the author of Calm is a Skill. She says it's not a personality. It's a nervous system skill we can all learn. What is one thing we can all do now or tonight, either in the car or on the couch, that comes from the book that can help us remain calm?
So essentially what the main thing to do is look for a gap. So when your caveman brain gets involved and you feel stressed, essentially what's happening is there's all sorts of chemical reactions going on in your brain, but they only last between 60 and 90 seconds. After that, it's habit. So what we need to do is just pause long enough for the chemicals to dissipate, and then your CEO brain comes back online and you can think, you can access that, you know, higher order thinking and patience and choosing the right response rather than the instinctual response and things like that. So if we just focus on creating that little gap, then you are more in control of your reactions. And really that's all it is. It's getting back in control.
You mentioned earlier you haven't always been calm and in control. So who was Melinda before the calm, and how did you change that version of you?
Well, I was, you know, a single mother of three kids with all the stress that comes with that, very messy divorce and all of that, working full time, doing all the things. So I was as stressed as you would expect someone in that position to be. And part of what I did as part of my healing journey was I went and trained as a mindset coach because I knew that the best way that I could heal myself was to learn how to help others. And as part of that, I started looking at my mindset and, as you talked about earlier, the stories you're telling yourself and that sort of thing, and started working on my mindset. And then I think also the more I learnt about the brain and how the brain works and things like that, the more I started just kind of instinctually creating that gap. And I didn't know, like I couldn't articulate at the time what I was doing. It wasn't until I kind of went digging and went, well, what was I doing there, that I kind of figured it out. But it was just sort of a process I went through of wanting, I guess, my kids to have someone in their life that wasn't necessarily going to be stressed and angry all the time. I wanted to be a safe place for them to be around so that they had a better life and they could feel safe where they were when they were with me.
So what are some of the tools that people can use to remain calm when they feel that tension building or that stressful situation taking over and that amygdala brain taking over?
Well, the thing is, when you're running away from a saber-toothed tiger, a couple of things happen in your body. So your vision narrows for a start. So because you've got to focus on that tiger on the horizon. So your vision narrows. So one of the things you can do is widen your field of view. So literally look around the room. Let your eyes land on, you know, certain things around the room. It can be anything. It can be, oh, there's a poster on the wall. Oh, look, there's a, you know, fly on the window. It doesn't matter what it is, but look around you and widen your field of view, because that sends a signal to your body that you're safe. Because if you weren't safe, if there was a tiger on the horizon, you would keep your field of view narrow. So what we're doing is we're sending signals to the body to say, there is no tiger, you are safe, it is okay. And so there's lots of ways you can do that. So the first one is looking around, you know, widening your field of view. Another one is simply breathing, because breathing is so simple.
I tell myself to breathe. I go, just take a breath, just take a breath.
Exactly, because we forget to do it. It's, you know, it's one of the only processes that is both voluntary and involuntary. But we do forget to breathe when we're stressed. And if we are breathing, we're breathing out of the top half of our lungs. So we're not breathing very deeply, because that's what happens when you're running away from a tiger. So again, if you breathe deeply and slowly, again, you're signalling to your body, there's no tiger, because if there was a tiger, I wouldn't be breathing like this. I wouldn't be breathing slowly. I'd be huffing and puffing and running. And so, again, you're sending that signal to your body that, hey, you know, it's okay. There's no tiger.
We are genuinely living in very anxious times. There's lots of pressure, cost of living, global uncertainty, people feeling like the world is spinning faster than ever. Does that make this book more important than ever before, or does it make calm harder for us to get to?
No, I think it does make it more important, because, as I've said, it's actually pretty simple to do. But it's like going to the gym. It's a muscle. So the first time you try it, it's probably not going to work very well. And you could be forgiven for going, oh, well, that didn't work, and not trying it again. But like anything, any skill that you have to learn, you have to practice it. And you won't get it right the first time, and you will snap at your kids, and you will get upset, and you will lie awake at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and all those kinds of things. But the more you practice it, the better you get at it. And before you know it, you're doing it without even realizing you're doing it, which is what happened to me. And I didn't know I was doing it. I didn't even realize until my daughter pointed it out to me. And then I went, oh, okay, how did that happen?
So lots of tips, lots of deep breathing, and lots of, I guess, self-awareness, which is exactly what Steph pointed out he tries to do after the 3:30 news. The book is called Calm is a Skill. It isn't a personality. It's a nervous system skill. Melinda, where can we find it?
So you can go to calmisaskill.com, and it's available in both paperback and as an ebook, a Kindle version.
And with all the tips and tricks on remaining calm, Melinda, thank you so much for coming into the studio and explaining it to us this afternoon here on ABC.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're with Amy Duggan on ABC Illawarra.